today is Tuesday. What day is it? It's the 17th of October, 2017. And my name is Adam. And you're listening to my personal journal podcast. Hello, everyone. How are you? Everything is going swimmingly here. I am recording again in my car. So you'll hear lovely road noises and all kinds of stuff, and it'll probably sound like crap. But we're doing it in the car again. We're doing it in the car! Because I wanted to get this, you know, recorded and out for everyone so that I'm staying on my schedule. And so, that's what we're gonna do. But so last week was National Coming Out Day or something like that. I don't know, Coming Out Day. And I had already recorded the episodes for last week, so I couldn't really change anything. I couldn't do anything differently than what I'm doing now, you know, because I had already recorded. I didn't even know that it was National Coming Out Day, to be honest. And so I did want to record an episode where I told you guys a little bit about me again, because, you know, the one that I did before with I had a story of something that had occurred in my life, and that got some really good feedback. Although I don't know if it was the specific story or, you know, if it was just that you guys liked hearing a little bit more about me. But regardless, I wanted to give you guys a little bit of more story about me. And some of these I may have mentioned on previous podcasts, you know, Dubious Intent or the Adam and Maddie Show before. So anyone who's been following me for a long time, maybe you've already heard these. I'm not sure. So we'll see. But basically, I'm having an abrupt stop because someone is trying to turn and there's a big line and it's after work and there's a lot of traffic. So I'm sure this is great for me to be recording and trying to drive through all this traffic. But so I wanted to give you a little bit of information about my experience as a gay man and coming out, etc. But I'm going to go all the way back to when when the shit hit the fan, we'll say. So when I was 17 or 18, and I was in high school, I had my first boyfriend, which wasn't even really a boyfriend. This guy was an online boyfriend. So I had gotten a computer when I was 14 or 15, and I had the AOL. I don't know if anyone's aware of AOL, but I had AOL, and I had gone into all these, you know, gay AOL chat rooms. My parents didn't know a lot about computers, as was usual back in those days. I knew a lot more than them. And so I would go in, and for those of you who are aware, like, those are the ones where you would go in and there would be these image trading rooms where you'd trade naked pictures with people. That's how we did porn back in the day. So, you know, you'd find somebody else who wanted to trade porn, and you trade porn, and then you're over a dial-up connection, right? So you're trying to, you know, do your business and look at porn, and you're having this image, slowly load on the screen because it's so slow. And so I went into AOL, and my first boyfriend was someone that I met in an AOL chat room. And the summer that I graduated high school, I was living with my parents still, and I was going to go off to college that, you know, the end of August. And so I was working at a bank. And I got bored one day, and I had this online boyfriend. We would talk every night, you know, around bedtime when my parents went to bed and everything, I would log into AOL, and we would chat. And sometimes we would chat on the phone as well. And he had given me, he had sent me a picture, and he was so cute and everything. And basically, you know, we would say, I love you, you know, the whole bit. His name was John, by the way. A really nondescript, I don't even know if that was really his name. But anyway, his name that he told me was John. So I was at the bank, and I was bored. And so I started doodling on a piece of paper, and I wrote, I love John, you know, like a little schoolgirl or something. I don't know, I was bored, and I was just writing John with a heart around it, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't think about it, and I put this piece of paper in my pocket. And I took it home, and I don't know if I left it in that pocket or if I pulled it out and put it on my desk. I'm not really sure exactly what happened there, but anyway, so a couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks later, I was packing for college, and my mom was in the room with me helping me, and we were packing, and she is going through some papers or something. Anyway, she finds this paper that says, I love John. Well, this, now, whether or not they knew that I was gay at this point, I don't know, but this had never come up before. And so she's like, Adam, what is this? You know, this I love John or whatever. And so I went into, you know, went into detail. I didn't really even necessarily come out. And I'm not going to get into everything on this episode, but basically I had already had sex with a guy, and I, for many, many years I had been having sex with a guy. He was not my boyfriend. And I, you know, I'll go into that on another episode if you guys want to hear it, but I basically blamed it on him. I said, oh, this guy, you know, he has sex with me and I liked it and yada, yada, yada. And so, I don't know, I feel really guilty about it, but, you know, I'm feeling this attraction to guys because I grew up in a Christian household. And so, you know, it was very guilt ridden and everything. And so, you know, I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. I promise I won't do it anymore. You know, and I was 18 at that point, so they couldn't really tell me what to do anyway. But I said, you know, this is only an online thing. I'm not doing anything else. I haven't met anyone, had physical contact, you know, other than this other person. And so I went to college. I went off to college, and that was it. They prayed for me or something. I don't know, you know, whatever they did. And I went off to college. So I got to college, and, you know, it's easier to be gay in college, but I was, you know, I would go back and forth. Some days I'd be like, oh, I'm really going to try, and I'm not going to go in these gay chat rooms, and I'm not going to, you know, and you're on a college campus, so you can find gay people. You can find other gays at college. But I wasn't out. It was a Baptist university. So, you know, and so I went through, you know, this back and forth. Well, at the end of my first semester, I was so guilty. I was just so guilty because I had this attraction for men that I called up my parents, and I was crying, you know, I was in tears. My parents did not, a lot of people aren't going to believe this, but my parents did not pressure me at all. I was really feeling this Christian guilt. And I told them, I'm having so many problems with these feelings, and I feel guilty, and I know I'm doing something wrong. At least at the time, I thought I was doing something wrong. And so I want to go, I've heard that there are these places that'll help you, you know, deal with this if you're having issues. And it was basically one of those ex-gay sort of, you know, if you think of like Exodus International, that no longer exists, but if you think of something like that. And so I said, can you guys look and try to find me something similar to that that I can go to? And so they did a bunch of research, and they found a place. And everyone thought it was so ironic. All of my gay friends, later when I tell them this story, the place that I went to was in a church. It was a house that was attached to a church, but it was in Redwood City, California, which is about half an hour from San Francisco. And so everyone's like, oh my God, really? How ironic that you went to basically San Francisco to like pray the gay away or whatever. So, so I went there, but I don't think my, you know, it's funny because I had all this guilt, but I don't think my heart was ever in it because after I was there 2 or 3 months, first of all, I would still call John on the phone when no one was around because I got homesick and I got to missing him, et cetera, et cetera. I would call him on the phone. And so about 2 months in, I was telling them, oh, you know, I'm really good at computers and web design. You don't have a website. I can design a website for you. So I'm like, my parents could mail my computer out here. We could get an internet connection and then I could do your website, right? Well, so basically, when I would be in there like working on the website for them, I would figure out a way to get on AOL or you know, one of the other places where you can go. And guess what? I would, you know, talk to other gay people and I don't know if I ever had fun. I was really big into phone sex back then. And I don't know if I did that like when I was there or not. I don't remember. But anyway, so bottom line was, I guess I wasn't fully committed. It was a half-hearted attempt to do something about my guilt, but didn't work. And the program was supposed to be about a year. But after I was there for about 5 months, I was so homesick. And I realized that, you know, this was just not going to work. I mean, this was not for me. I liked men, you know, I was attracted to men. It felt completely natural to me, you know. But I didn't want to tell my parents that. So I basically told my parents, I was like, I'm homesick. You know, I want to come home. I'm like, I'll do this on my own, but I can't stay here. I'm just too homesick. And so they came, they flew out, they picked me up, they took me home. And I went back into, I got a job. I think it was summer again by then. And I got a job and et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, no more than a month or two after that, I met my first, you know, serious boyfriend. And so, oh, and I'd forgotten when my first semester in school at this Baptist university, I had met a guy online or so. I don't even know. I don't think I met him online. I think he was friends of a friend or something. He wasn't even going to the same university. But I would end up staying at his apartment for days at a time, and I almost missed my finals because I was at his apartment. And I took them, but I think I failed a couple, or I made a C on a couple because I wasn't studying. Because anyway, so but he was, you know, he only lasted for about a month. But then, and interestingly enough, he's gone through a similar program now, and he went to like some Baptist university, and I don't know if he's decided he's gay or not now, but the last I had heard from him, he was not acting out his sinful ways, or whatever you want to say. So you know, maybe a month or two after I got back from this place, I got my first serious boyfriend. And, you know, then I went for about another year to the Baptist University, and then I decided I was going to transfer schools because I wanted to be closer to my boyfriend. Now, all this time, I was telling my parents that I was being celibate. I never lied to them about the fact that I was attracted to men, but I would tell them, well, I'm not acting out on it. I'm not dating anyone. I'm not dating girls or guys. And I would tell them flat out. I'd be like, look, I'm not going to date girls just to make you guys happy. I said, I'm going to do my best to be celibate, but I'm not going to date girls. And this went on for years and years and years. I mean, I went through boyfriend after boyfriend after boyfriend, but I was living away from my parents and I just wouldn't tell them. You know, I might mention having a friend or something. And it got more and more obvious because then I would have a quote unquote roommate. And so anyway, after I moved to Arkansas and I met Mark, and this is skipping over a lot of my life, but I mean, you know, after I met Mark, I just got to feeling really good. I was sick. I was at home sick for a couple of days and I wasn't feeling well. And I was talking to my mom and I don't know. She asked me the question. I don't even know what we were talking about, but she basically asked me the question, you know, is there something you need to tell me about Mark or something like that, right? And so basically I just said, you know what? Yes. I'm like, Mark and I are more than roommates, yada, yada, yada. We basically, you know, went through all of that. I just told them, I said, look, you know, I tried all the things that I tried. I said, you know, I really feel like this is how I feel and this is who I am and et cetera. And I said, I feel really bad. I said, I've tried to keep this from you guys because I didn't want you to be disappointed in me and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, it was hard for them. They came over that night and they said, well, we want to pray for you and Mark, you know, but they, you know, in their own way, they were trying to be super supportive because they didn't pray for us to not be gay. They just prayed for us to, you know, live whatever kind of godly life we could live together. And I don't even think they said it that way, but they said, you know, you're our son. We love you. You know, Mark is a really nice guy. We'll love him as well, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so we went through that, but it was really awkward. I think it was more awkward for me because I'm a people pleaser. And I constantly feel like I'm disappointing my parents in this area of my life. Even if they are being totally supportive, I know that in the back of their mind, they're thinking that I'm doing something that's a sin. And it just drives, you know, it drives me crazy. Even to this day, it drives me crazy. But my mom, I mean, you know, they've had some weird things where mom would come over to the apartment and ask me, oh, which room is Mark's room? You know, it's kind of funny. But you know, even that's kind of different now. I think she knows that we're in the same room. But, you know, and now she calls Mark's son. She cooked a birthday dinner for him because it was his birthday recently. He went to my grandmother's funeral and most of my family met him now. But it drives me crazy. I have this feeling on the inside of me that everyone's judging me. You know, that everyone's, you know, after we leave the room, they're probably having secret prayer sessions or something. I don't know. It's just, and it's a me thing. I mean, even they are outwardly being as supportive as they possibly can be. And, you know, and so I went to a memorial service. We had a memorial service for my grandmother down south that I went yesterday. And Mark didn't go with me. And my godparents from, you know, back when I was in junior high school, just this really close friends of the family that I decided I was going to call my godparents. I hung out with them a lot. I used to do craft projects with Miss Sally, my godmother. That's like the gayest thing in the world. We used to paint sweatshirts with puff paint, and they didn't know I was gay. I don't know. But anyway, but they're super, super, super Christian. Like, they were missionaries and, like, all of this stuff, right? And so I said hi to them, but then as soon as people started coming up to me and talk, I, like, avoided them for the rest of the afternoon because I felt so... they didn't even say anything judgy, but I just felt like, oh, I know it's going to come up. They're going to ask about Mark. So anyway, I basically just wanted to bring this up. So, you know, my family's being very supportive. My parents are being very supportive. But I just want to let everyone out there know it is a process. I'm going through it. If you haven't come out yet, do, you know, take the time that you need. But just know that it's a process for everyone. And I'm still going through my process. All right, guys. Well, for more episodes, you can go to geekygay.com. You can find many more LGBT and LGBT-friendly shows over at pride48.com. You can contact me. You can email me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com. And you can call 229-234-7587. I will see you guys in a couple of days. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.